Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. So this channel is quite close to my heart because I train coaches in embodiment. I mean, why? Because if you don't work with the body, you're missing a lot. Whether you're a coach, a therapist, facilitator, whatever, that's how you go deep quickly. That's how you do stuff that's sticky. We have to take the body into account. This channel is sponsored by Dylan Newcombe and Uzazu Embodied Intelligence. Dylan is a genius, quite simply put, and I wouldn't say that about many people in this field. I've been studying with Dylan for, God, the first time was probably 10 years ago in the Netherlands. Speaks fluent Dutch, by the way, as well as Korean and a few other languages. What I love about Dylan is his ability to make models of things, looking at how embodiment works. His system, Uzazu, U-Z-A-Z-U, is really all about state shifting. So I think of him as the sort of master of state changing, how we can shift our state, our client's state, and how we can develop ourselves through those different ways of being. So I think for coaches and therapists, it's like easy to learn, practical toolkit. I've used it myself over the years. So if you want a 3-day online training with Dylan, then look at the link below, or you can go to Uzazu, uzazu.org. And even easier, he's got an embodied assessment there you can do as well. We all love doing these little tests about ourselves, but this is an embodied one. So there you go. Welcome to the Coaching and Therapy channel. I'm gonna be on this one a lot just because there's lots of cool people on here. Lots of people, I think, you know, well worth a listen. Embodiment in facilitation is so necessary. So from me to you, welcome.
Welcome indeed. All righty. Well, I'm really looking forward to having our guest here today, Liz Doyle Harmer. She's talking about a subject that's very close to my heart, embodied confidence for women. Liz is a coach, entrepreneur, podcaster, blogger, and mother of four. She helps humans to find the courage and grace to fulfill their full potential. She's the co-owner of Afterglow Studio. She's a co-host of the Afterglow podcast and the founder of the 28-Day Embodied Confidence Bootcamp. She holds an MBA, a CPC and yoga teacher training. And we're very, very excited to have her here today. Over to you, Liz.
Thank you so much, Liz, for that warm welcome. I'm happy to be here. Before we dive in, let's start with some embodiment, a quick little practice here just to come back to our bodies. So obviously I can't see you. I don't know how you're sitting. I'm currently standing. If you are sitting on a chair, then I would encourage you to place your feet on the floor. So just feel yourself. So both feet are grounded onto the floor. If you're sitting and you want to stand up to do this practice, you can for a minute. I'm already standing, so I've got both my feet on the floor. And whether you're standing or sitting, you can pick up your toes. You can pick up your heels. You can shift slowly, slightly from side to side until you feel yourself balanced, centered, grounded, and rooted over your feet. And just notice the sensation, the feelings, the emotions that come from this place of being rooted and grounded. You can let that go. Come back to the presentation. You take a deep breath, breathe in through your nose, sigh it out through your mouth. Coming back to the body is as easy as that. Your feet are always with you. There's a reason why we filter out the bottoms of our feet. They aren't that interesting when it comes to surviving in our world. They're not paramount to pay attention to. But during those moments when you're feeling overwhelmed by whatever's going on out there, or whatever's happening in here, whenever you're feeling overwhelmed, you can bring your attention back to the soles of your feet. And scientists don't know why, but for some reason, whenever people focus on the soles of their feet, automatically their nervous system calms down. They feel less stress. And they don't know why, but they think it's because your feet are as far away from your head as you can get, as far away from your head and your thoughts and rumination and whatever takes us away from ourselves. So that's a practice I do a lot. I come back to the soles of my feet, and I will probably do it throughout this presentation to help keep me grounded. I will dive in. So this is Embodied Confidence for Women. There was a bit of a misnaming on the schedule. So if you were expecting something else, I apologize. This is Embodied Confidence for Women. And I'll just dive into who this presentation, who this class, this masterclass, this workshop, who it's for, because there's so many amazing people to check out during this conference. And I want you to make the best of your time. I want to make the best of my time. So I'll just dive into who this masterclass is for. See if I can get my slides to move. And it does not want to move. Okay, I think it did move. This is for women who lack confidence. This is for women who lack confidence. So in some way, they are living in embodied doubt. So embodied doubt is not being clear on who you are, not being clear on what you care about, not having the courage to go after the goals that you want, feeling overwhelmed and distracted. So this workshop is for women who are in some way feeling like they are living in embodied doubt and would like to increase confidence and courage so they have the resources they need to go after what they really want. So just to dive into that a little bit, does this sound like you? I like this guy, he's super cute. So is there a goal or a vision that you would like to achieve in your life? So maybe something you've written on your to-do list or your goal list. Every January 1st, you set these goals, but for some reason you're not moving towards it, you're not following through. Or are you chasing your goals? Are you pursuing your life's vision, your purpose, what's important to you? But do you wrestle with voices of inner doubt, with self-critical thinking? Does it feel like you're just kind of beating yourself up along the way? Do you struggle with procrastination, perfectionism, imposter syndrome? Any of those things are forms of embodied doubt. Do you berate yourself with harsh words? This was something I personally struggled with for quite some time, berating myself with harsh words, even though literally, and I'm sure this is the case for you, you've accomplished more than a superhero that day. Are you so disconnected? So this is another manifestation of embodied doubt. So disconnected from your inner confident and courageous core that you're not even sure what you want. You're not even sure which direction to go in. You feel overwhelmed by everything and you can't pick a path for you. And do you see other women, other humans achieving things that you feel you could have done too? Half of you admiring them, half of you being inspired by them, and the other half secretly jealous, wishing that you could do those things also. If you have that feeling that there's something else out for you and yet you just can't get to it, that is, in my opinion, a form of embodied doubt. So essentially, is lack of confidence holding you back in life, affecting everything? Your career, your finances, your relationships, your well-being. If that's the case, if you can relate to any of that, I have good news for you. It is 100% possible to shift out of embodied doubt through a set of confidence practices and to shift into embodied confidence. This is something I will walk you through. So in the next 45 minutes, we'll cover how to get past inner critical voices of shame and fear and get to the best part of you that's calm, confident, connected on who she is, and courageous. We'll cover how to pursue your goals and take on challenges in your own life without burning yourself out. This is something that's really key to me. So a lot of coaches say, you know, just go after it, just get out of your comfort zone, just go and do it. In my experience, if you don't have that strong, resilient, centered core, you will burn yourself out. It's unsustainable. How to go after what you really want, not the stuff you're supposed to say as a mom or as a woman, but the goals, dreams, and visions you really, truly care about. How to develop the inner resources you need to pursue your goals without overwhelming your nervous system, so without overwhelming yourself and shutting down. And how to have compassion for yourself when you mess up, because we're all going to mess up. So how to have compassion with yourself when you make mistakes, when you can't reach your goals, so that you can increase your capacity to respond in a confident and courageous way, so you can increase your grit and your resiliency. How to walk into a room and feel calm, confident, and grounded, no matter who is in the room. And how to support yourself in a world that does not yet fully embrace a confident, courageous, and untamed woman. There have been lots of progress, lots of shifts. We're not fully in a balanced world, not yet. So how can we deal with that disconnect? So my promise to you is a step-by-step process to help you take up space, the physical, mental, emotional space that is rightfully yours. So a few house rules with this approach. There's no quick and easy fixes. I wish there were. This is a step-by-step process for profound change, but it requires effort. So this is not the shoulder pad solution. So I grew up in the 80s. My mom loved Young and the Restless. So, you know, this was back in the 80s. We didn't have iPad devices. We were all forced to watch the same thing after school. So Young and the Restless. And I remember there was one character, Ashley. She worked at Jabot Cosmetics. And, you know, I just imagined her getting ready in the morning and putting on the shoulder pads and the red lipstick. And there she goes. She was her confident self. So this is not the quick fix shoulder pad solution. By all means, if there's a certain way of dress that makes you feel better, go ahead and do this. But this is an inside out job. It's not an outside in job. There's no quick, easy fixes, but there is a path, there is a way. So what do I mean by embodied confidence anyways? So let's break up the term into two. For the word embodied, I like to take this term from the Strozzi Institute. So there's speakers here, I'm most certain, from the Strozzi Institute. I think Richard Strozzi was speaking. If you have a chance, I would check him out. I would go back and look at one of his recordings. But I love his definition of embodied. And what he says is that something is embodied when it happens automatically, even under stress and pressure. So a classic example of that is learning to drive a car. So at one point, I'm guessing most of you are over 16 years old. That's the legal age to drive here in Canada. At some point, I imagine you got in the car with your driving instructor or your mom or your dad, and you were learning to drive the car. And when you were first learning, you had to really pay attention to what you were doing. You had to pay attention to where your right foot was. You had to pay attention to where your hands were. Are they at 10 and 2, you had to, have the radio down so you could focus. Changing lanes, you had to think about, okay, look over my left shoulder, then put my clicker on. It was step by step. Eventually, over time, with practice and repetition, you can hop in the car now and you can just drive the car. You don't have to think about all these things. You have embodied muscle memory. Driving the car is something you can do even under times of stress and pressure. And certainly, I will do it with my four kids yelling at me in the back of the car. The news is on, there's all kinds of things going on in the car, and I'm still able to drive, right? It's embodied. So confidence, for the word confidence, I love the term from the book, The Confidence Code. So these are two authors who researched confidence for women extensively, and they define confidence as a belief in self that translates into an ability to act. I've added on in alignment with what you care about, because that to me is important. We want you to be able to act in confidence, to believe in yourself, so you can act in alignment with what you care about. So confidence is relational. So a lot of times in the women I coach, they feel confident in low pressure situations when they're at home with family members that they're comfortable with, or in work environments that are not stressful. But when those big goals enter the picture, the things they really care about, the stuff they truly want to make happen, when the stress and the pressure is on, they lose that belief in self often. And this is the research that was found in the Confidence Code, that we have this lower belief in ourselves, and that translates into an inability to act. You literally cannot move forward, or if you are, it's with a lot of excess stress. So if this is something that you're struggling with, if you relate to this, you are not the problem. You are 100% not the problem. And I'll explain this over the shifts that come. The problem is that you haven't made the shifts yet. You haven't made these five shifts. Once you make these shifts, you'll wake up feeling like you are on your own team. You'll be able to pursue your goals, your vision, without a sense of dread or overwhelm. You will have greater resiliency to face the challenges in your life with calm and with ease. And you'll be free of inner critical thinking and harsh judgment, right? That'll be, instead of being a voice that overwhelms you, it becomes just this little pipsqueak of a voice. Eventually over time, it's neutralized. When you make mistakes, you'll be the one that can take care of you. And you'll enter that room feeling calm, grounded, confident. So before I just dive any forward, I'd love to just, before I draw, I dive more forward, I'd love to bring you back to your body. I'm coming back to mine. If you cross your legs, you can uncross them. Place both your feet on the floor, feeling that sensation of ground. Coming back to the body. Coming back to the breath. Coming back to yourself. And coming back to your intention of why you're here and what you'd like to get out of this workshop. As I go through the content, if you have questions that come up, please hold on to them, because I will make time for them at the end. It's so funny how quick and easy it is to come back to the body. I see a lot of people, and no judgment, but smoking cigarettes, right? That's their stress break. That's the way they release stress. And it's just as easy to find the feet, to find the breath, to make those our daily breaks, our stress breaks. So who am I? Who am I? I am Liz Doyle Hermer. That's my name. I co-own a yoga studio here in Toronto. I'm a leadership coach. I have 4 kids and 2 dogs. I live by the water. I've led corporate workshops in companies like Google and Lowly. And I've been quoted in podcast radio and national television. And I've helped hundreds of women make the shifts I'm about to teach you, including myself. And so my story, 5 years ago, when I was starting my yoga studio with my business partner, I was finally finding the courage to go after what I wanted. So I had actually wanted to start a business since I was 15 years old. 15 years old. I took an entrepreneurship class with a teacher named Kevin Power. And I love that last name, Power. And you'll see why I like the word power. And I did not get the courage to actually start a business until I was in my 30s. And in that time, when I was starting my business with my business partner, I had a lot of stress going on in my life. I had the 4 kids. I had, my father was in a nursing home. My mom was having financial stress. There was just a lot going on. And as I was pursuing the goals that I finally was getting some degree of courage to go towards, what I noticed is I just didn't have that inner resilience, that inner confidence, that inner ability to support myself to go after my goals. So I was going after my goals, but there was additional stress from the inner critical thoughts, from the perfectionism, from the procrastination, from the battling against myself. And over time, what I was realizing was that this was unsustainable. I was going to burn out. I wasn't going to be able to stay committed to my goals without that resilient, confident, courageous center. So I just reached a point where I said, I have to figure this out. I finally have found the courage to start the business. I don't want to walk away from it. I really don't. I have to figure this out. So I trained, I researched, I studied in coaching, yoga philosophy, movement, mobility, positive psychology, and neuroscience. And I tested out these concepts on myself, and I tested them out on the clients I was working on. And what I came to are 5 key shifts that you must make to increase confidence and get back to the truth of who you are. I'm going to walk you through all 5 shifts. So the first one, you have to bypass your evolution. Okay, evolution is not doing us any favors when we live in the world that we currently live in. And the simple fact is that you have evolved for a simple world. You have not evolved for a complex world. You have evolved for see tiger, run, repeat. You have not evolved for complexity, but finding confidence, finding the courage to believe in yourself, finding the ability to go after what you want in life is a complex thing. That is not a simple thing, because human development is a complex thing. We humans are the most complex thing there is. COVID is complex, climate change is complex. Literally everything we see in our world today is a complex situation. So the fact that we have evolved for simplicity is not serving us right now. From an evolutionary point of view, there are three things that you must bypass, in order to deal with the complexity in the world today, in order to deal with the complexity of your own human development. Three things you must bypass. One is your automaticity, all right? So 80 to 90% of what you do is automatic and unconscious. 80% of what you do is already embodied and is things you don't think about. It's what Daniel Kahneman calls bottom-up processing. So it's bottom-up processing rather than top-down conscious awareness. It's bottom-up processing, which is reactive, habitual, unconscious, rapid fire fast. So these are processes that you use to automatically perceive, predict, and respond to your world. Everybody does it as part of our evolution. So the reason we do that, if you think about it from an evolutionary point of view, is because we had limited resources back then, right? If you think of long time ago, the image of these humans without the resources that we have today, food was scarce. So efficiency, being able to conserve energy, was highly important. So if it was possible for you to learn things and then hardwire them in your neural pathways, in your body, so you don't have to think about them again, because your prefrontal cortex uses a lot of energy, so you don't have to think about it again, then you could save energy. So our automaticity is something that served us well in a simple world when resources were scarce. But key periods for you, that you hardwire, it's important to know that you hardwire information. When you're born with billions of pathways, but limited connection between them. And as you go about your world, as you're a young child, as you make sense of your world, as you go about your world, you start to hardwire information. So if you touch a fire and it's hot, you hardwire into that, into your brain. Touching fire is hot. And you do that so you don't have to think about it again. But the key periods where you are hardwiring information to help you survive is before age 8 and during adolescence. These are key periods where you have myelin in your brain. This is a protein that helps you really make super highways out of the neural pathways in your brain. So before age 8 and during adolescence, everything you learn is being super coded in myelin in your brain so that you can predict your world, respond to your world, and perceive your world based on these pathways. So just think back to yourself, take a moment, you can close your eyes, imagine yourself, age 8 or adolescence. These are key periods in your life where you're making sense of your world and hardwiring that information into your brain to last a lifetime. Now, is it possible that before age 8 or during adolescence, that you could have had the maturity, the mental development, the experience to create pathways that would serve you for a lifetime? And it's not possible. So you can come back to the room, it's not possible. And so we need some tweaking. Our automaticity needs some tweaking throughout our lifetime, especially because our automaticity is there to help us survive. It's not there to help us thrive. So your automaticity cares about one thing and one thing only. It cares about the passing on of your genes. It cares about you staying physically alive so that you can procreate. So that is what your automaticity cares about. This is why you have hardwired information in your brain so that you can stay physically alive. Your automaticity does not care about your fulfillment, your inspiration, your meaningful life, or your joy. It just doesn't. It cares about you staying physically safe. So when you, it cares that you procreate, right? So if you let your evolution run on autopilot, your desire to be physically safe will always trump your fulfillment goals. So this is why you might have a disconnect between going after your bold, ambitious purpose, because your goals to stay physically safe will trump those. So that makes sense, especially when you consider this next point, which is your need for social safety. So you have a need to stay socially safe. So from an evolutionary point of view, in order for you to survive, in order for you to be able to pass on your genes to the next generation, you needed to belong to a herd. You needed that social safety. It was not possible for you to fight lions and tigers or bears. It was not possible for you to secure the food resources you needed on your own. So that need for social safety is paramount. Your brain actually prioritizes social safety in the same way that it prioritizes physical safety. So we are basically wired to comply to society's definitions. And this is going to become apparent in another shift that we'll review, but you are wired to comply. Not belonging causes a stress response. If you're not aware of that, then you will give in to that stress response and you will go back to complying to the needs of society, to what society tells you. So you are wired to belong, but most of your goals, your dreams, and your visions, in some way, your goals, your dreams, or your visions, they require you to set yourself apart from the herd. They require you to stand out. So from an automaticity point, from an evolutionary point of view, you must evolve into skills that will help you to deal with complexity. We have to get out of automaticity and you have to shift into consciousness. You need to move out of survival seeking and you need to move into seeking fulfillment and thriving and purpose and meaning. And you need to move out of a desire to belong and shift into the ability to stand out without freaking out. These are things that we need to train and there are practices that you can do it. So Eckhart Tolle says that humanity is now faced with a stark choice, evolve or die. If the structures of the human mind remain unchanged, we will always end up recreating the same world. I believe this, but I take an optimistic approach. I believe this is happening already. I believe we are already evolving into higher parts of ourselves because we no longer live in a simple world, we live in a complex world. And one thing we humans are good at, it is surviving. We are good at adapting to our environment. And so automaticity no longer works. Seeking survival no longer works. We will evolve into the mindset, the tools, the abilities we need to thrive in complexity. And that's the point of this conference by and large. So shift number one, bypass your evolution. Shift number two, you need to bypass your conditioning. So conditioning is basically everything that has shaped you into the human you are today. And I love this model that comes from generative somatics. Again, I'm pretty sure there are speakers at this conference from generative somatics. I highly recommend you check them out. But in this model, they look at all the spheres. What are all the things that have shaped you into the human you are today? And so they start with the spirit landscape sphere, which I won't go into. I'm going to dive into the next one in, which is social norms and historical forces. So from a historical point of view, I don't want to dive into 2000 years of patriarchy. Largely because we would be here for hours. But secondly, because it's not... my goal is not to blame patriarchy. My goal is simply to acknowledge that we've had 2000 years of males being elevated into leadership positions and women's not having access to that. And that continues to shape us today. So I think, you know, Liz and I were chatting at the beginning of the session, just how there is this mentality out there. Aren't we past this issue? Aren't we past women's equality? And the truth is we aren't. We are still very much shaped today, but by what has happened over our history, right? We are still very much shaped today. This is the same conversation that's happening in the Indigenous realm as well as the people of color realm, right? It's the same conversation. We are still shaped by what has happened over our history. So, I mean, I just quickly started to dive into Canadian history here because that's where I am. But as recently as 2017, 3 years ago, the Canadian province of British Columbia amended workplace legislation to prevent employers from requiring women to wear high heels to work. So this was 2017. This was 3 years ago. So are we past this? Not quite. We're not quite past this. Changes are happening, but not fast enough. Especially when we think of social norms, our culture, right? So I have a 14-year-old daughter. I see my daughter. I see her going on TikTok. I see what information is entering her precious brain. And it is not information that serves her or the world that we're in, right? The sexualization of women, it still goes on. The objectification of women, the idea that women are supposed to be a certain shape or a certain size, it still goes on. And the data says that girls, our young girls, are struggling now more than ever. So this has always been there. I was, you know, when I was a teenager, I read teen magazines that made me feel like garbage about myself, and I put them aside. I said, I'm not going to read those anymore. So this has been there for a long time, but social media amplifies what's in our culture, which is the objectification of the female body. And from from a research point of view, when girls see their bodies as a sexual object, they decrease their belief in self. Their confidence goes down. They actually believe they are not capable, and this is proven in research, to excel in science, to excel in math. There's a direct correlation between how they see their bodies and what jobs they go after. So this has an impact and continuing impact in our world. In a culture that asks us to shame and tame our bodies, we lose full access to the power that's inside. So this is a good cue for us to come back to our bodies, because what I've just said might be ruffling for some of us. So I'll invite you to stand, but if that doesn't work for you, that's fine. You can stay seated, but again, find those feet on the floor. That is your ground. That is solid ground. Find your feet on the floor and cross your legs if they were crossed. Find your feet on the floor. Bring your awareness to the bottoms of your feet. And one of the things I do to help myself feel the power of my body, to remind myself that my body is not something to be tamed or shamed, but that it is infinitely powerful, is to bring my awareness to the bottom of the feet and to visualize roots growing out of the center of my feet and anchoring me to the ground, the earth beneath. And I invite you to sense into your roots, to notice how far they go, how deep they go, and I'm even visualizing my roots reaching as far as England, Portugal, Argentina. United States, all the geographies we have on this call today. Your body is certainly not a tool to be tamed or shamed. Your body is the most powerful thing you have. We'll bring ourselves back. I wish I could stay in those practices with you forever, but we have content to cover. And I think, to be honest, I won't go too far into a side, but this is the challenge to our world, in our world right now, to bring those practices with us as we act. So you can keep that connection to the bottom of the feet, keep that connection to the power in your body, so that you can keep that with you as you act in this world. That's the challenge ahead of us as humans. From an institutional point of view, so we're still working in that the sphere of how we've been shaped. We're moving in a level to institutions, right? So from an institutional level, I won't dive too deep into this, but very concretely and accurately, Every structure in place in the world today was designed with women absent from the table. Every system that is in place today, from capital markets, to how our boardrooms work, to how our courtrooms work, to how our churches run, to, you know, how our governments run, every single structure, every single system was designed with women absent from the table. So again, that I don't bring that up to blame anyone, but simply to acknowledge. So as women, when we go into these structures, if it feels like a square peg trying to fit into a round hole, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. So it's normal not to feel at your most confident self in these existing systems and structures. And just to be aware of that, we are being shaped into a world that has been designed without our contribution, right? And so just to feel that there's going to be disconnect with that, it might be normal to have some anxiety, right, in that kind of situation. To build our new normal, female leadership values and ideas in all genders is required. So it's not, we're moving past fitting into the existing system and structure. We're moving into redesigning the system and the structure with both female and male voices at the table. I won't get into that there. Then the next sphere is you're getting, so as we move into the spheres, as we get closer to the center, you are getting closer to what hits closer to home. So on the outer realm, the history, it affects all of us, although there are differentiations depending on where you find yourself geographically. But as you move towards the center, you're getting closer to what hits closer to home. So from a community and a family point of view, questions to ask yourself are, what messaging did you receive in school? What messaging did you receive in school about how a girl should be or how a boy should be? And just quickly to dive into research done not too long ago, which says when a boy speaks out in class without raising his hands, that is not addressed as much as when a girl speaks up without raising her hand, right? So those subtle things that have happened in our educational system, that might have happened in your educational system, you see Billy speaking up and he gets to have the floor, and you try to speak up and your hand is put down. Those subtle things continue to impact you today, continue to impact your ability to raise your voice today. So what messaging did you receive in school? What did teachers role model? What did they say? What groups were you a part of? What was the church, the messages you might've received at church or in Girl Guides? This is an exercise that you can do. It's a journaling exercise that you can take on your own, just to say, what messages did I receive about being a woman in the world today? And how might that still be continuing to affect me? What did your parents role model or say? Who worked for money? Who stayed home? Who did housework? What was respected and not respected? And so again, the idea is not to lay blame, is simply to bring all of this to awareness so you can see, oh, it makes sense that, you know, a common pattern I see in women is this murder pattern. So it's a pattern to do a ton, take on a lot, do a ton without asking for help. And so, especially when it comes to the housework, and a lot of times there's two sides, right? It's a two-way street. But there's a pattern to take on a lot. And a lot of times it's because that's what was modeled. The mother sacrificed, the mother stayed at home. So what was modeled, and does that serve you? Is that something you want to continue to have serve you? If not, can we bring it to awareness? Can we notice when it's there? And can we start to train and choose something else? From an individual level, so this is the very center of this sphere, and this is where we get into your genes, your DNA. From an individual level, positive psychologists say that for any trait, whether it's happiness or confidence, they say about 25 to 50% of that trait, so 25 to 50% of your confidence is determined by your genes, it's what you're born with, and the other 50 to 75% is determined by what you do. So even if you feel you were born with less confidence than others, you can move that number. You can dial it up. And according to the research, what you do actually is more important than what you were born with. There are practices you can do to shift. So just to sum it up, that shaping over history, shaping in our culture, it still continues to affect us. It still continues to impact women. So Kamala is not the only one being interrupted during conversations. When outnumbered in meetings, women speak up 75% less than men. That's the shaping of what women have been shaped into. That's the shaping of what men have been shaped to over generations, over history. Women underestimate their abilities. And when they do that, they're less likely to take on risk. They don't take on risk when they underestimate their abilities. Women see other women as capable of leadership, but they still struggle to hold those same views for themselves. The bottom line, the world is changing. It's changing. There's been a lot of progress. I don't want to discount that. There has been a lot of progress. There's been, centuries of a feminist movement, but it's not changing fast enough. And we continue to be shaped by gender imbalances. Another stat, Amy Cuddy here, she did her power posing research, which is really important research. But the other thing she did, which is research which didn't get as much attention, is she asked little boys and little girls, she showed them gender neutral dolls. And one doll was in an expansive shape, taking up space. And the other doll was in a contracted shape, diminutive, not taking up space. And she asked 4-year-old boys and girls, tell me about these dolls. What's the story you can tell about these dolls? And by age 4, both boys and girls associated the doll that took up the expansive shape as being male and the doll that was in the diminutive contracted position as being female. So that was about 5 or 6 years ago, and that was age 4. So we're not past this yet. When this young generation still sees that men get to take up space and women don't. So a good exercise to take for yourself after is allow yourself, take the power position, take it, and notice what shows up for you when you take it. Is this something that feels comfortable, or do you get a nervous system reaction? And a lot of my clients, even though they're doing bold things in their life or trying to do bold things in their life, when they take this position, I've had clients say, this doesn't feel like I'm allowed to do this. This feels like I'm not supposed to be doing this. This feels too, they're just like, they say it feels too, like it feels wrong. It feels like I'm not allowed to do this. And so if we can't take up that space with our physical bodies, how are we going to go there in our lives? Which brings me to shift number 3. So shift number 3 is truly to take your power back. Shift number 3 is to say, okay, I'm not going to be, dictated by my evolution. I'm not going to be dictated by my conditioning. I am going to take my power back. I'm not going to be run by society's rules about who I should be. I'm not going to be run by history, what history has told me who a woman should be. I'm not going to be run by what was modeled to me. Yes, that's there, but that's not going to run me. I am going to take my power back. And I consider this the Elsa move. So if you have kids like me, this is where she puts her foot down and she stomps her feet and she says, this is it. This is who I am. This is where I stay. This is what I'm standing up for. Each one of us needs to do that. We have to put our foot down. We have to say, this is what I'm standing up for. Once you do that, once you make that decision to take your power back, then you can access what I call fierce presence. So fierce presence is the ability, it's a set of mindset and mind-body practices that allow you to stand in the center of your life and liberate yourself from past habits, past beliefs, past conditioning, past evolutionary tendencies, all of that, right? This is the ability to stand in the center of your life, to have conscious awareness of everything that's happening out there, all the things that are shaping you, all the things that have shaped you, to have conscious awareness of everything that's happening in here, nervous system reactions you might be having when you go out in your world, to have conscious awareness of all of that and make clear, calm, connected, confident, and courageous choices aligned with who you truly are. Fierce presence is the ability to get clear on what you care about, what's at the core and the center of you, and to live your life in alignment with that, the ability to choose. So the old way to build confidence, I kind of hinted at this in the past, is to put on the shoulder pads, is to get something external, right? Buy clothing to make yourself feel better. Push harder, do more. Achieve to believe, so that feeling, if I get all straight A's, then I can feel good about myself. I'm certainly guilty of that one. So it's achieving to believing. There was this period of being like a man, you know, when I grew up, I remember the Secret commercials, like never let them see you sweat. And it was this idea of just, you know, buffer it up, bolster yourself up and just go out there and do it. Buy things to make yourself feel better, buy a dress, put on those shoulder pads, get the lipstick, be thin, control, tame, shame your body, be a certain size, then you can feel better about yourself. It's fake confidence and it's unsustainable. What I'm talking about is the inside out job, cultivating a feeling of confidence, courage from the inside, using your breath, your attention, your body, your thoughts, and your emotions. So one of the quick practices I do, one of the first practices I teach people is that idea of rooting through the feet, right? Finding that anchoring, that ground, that support. But that's just one of them. That's just one of them. There's lots of them. Over time, with practice and repetition, once you do this work, once you take your power back and commit to cultivating presence, you develop the ability to have embodied confidence, a belief in self that shines through no matter what is going on in the outside world. You don't need to look outside yourself. Using your body, your breath, and your attention, you can change your life. So Deborah was one of the clients I had who worked in corporate banking. She was one of the only women on her team. And because of that, she often second-guessed herself. She read every self-help book on the market. I felt so much for Deborah because she had done so much. She had tried so much. I just wanted to check the Q&A to make sure I'm not running out of time. Lisa, I'll just ask, how are we for time? Liz, sorry, I'll just ask, how are we for time?
We've got we have 7 minutes left. So use it for your presentation if you need to, and we'll use Q&A if there's time.
Okay, perfect. I am gonna get to Q&A. So I'm almost done, so I'm gonna rush through this. I want to get to Q&A. So
take your time, Liz. It's fine. Take your time.
Perfect. Amazing. So I felt for Deborah, she had done so much. She had tried so much, yet she still felt anxious in these meetings when she went to work, where it mattered most in the moment. She didn't have the inner practices to ground herself, to align herself, to have calm, confidence, and courage. So when she learned the practices, when she learned how to ground herself in real time, and this is different than meditation in the morning. So a lot of us, I'm sure a lot of you have tried setting aside time, meditating in the morning. Awesome. Do that. Keep doing it. Practice when you don't have the stress of the outside world. But then you need to bring those practices with you throughout your day to day. You need them in real time. So eventually over time, when she learned the practices, she ended up getting a promotion. So I will say this is unique to Deborah. Other times people say, you know what? I don't want to be in this environment. They leave their job. But with her, she was able to support herself and get a promotion. So by this point, we know that we need to bypass our evolution. You need to bypass your conditioning and you need to decide to take your power back, to not be overrun by evolution, past events, take your power back, access fierce presence. Two other shifts that I want to cover. This next one is to ground your nervous system. So I just shared that the world has changed, but it's not changing fast enough, right? 3 years ago, women finally told you don't have to wear high heels to work. The world is not changing fast enough. And so as you go and do bold, confident, purpose-seeking work, you will experience often a nervous system reaction between you taking up expanded space and the outside world, which still gives us the message, hey, we're not quite ready for that. We're not quite ready for that yet. So you will have a nervous system reaction because you want to fit in to what the herd, to what the group tells you. So changes are happening, they're not fast enough. You're gonna feel that disconnect, that nervous system reaction. And certainly I learned that the hard way. So work in incremental steps, set goals for yourself, but work in incremental steps. Adopt a grounding practice in real time and rooting through the soles of my feet is my favorite one, but you can also use the breath. There are lots of breath practices. You can reach out to me. I have lots of tips around that, using the breath to help you ground. To work in incremental steps, adopt a grounding practice to support you in real time, in your day-to-day, expect nervous system reactions and take breaks when you need. Know that taking a break is not giving up. Taking a break is simply taking a break. And finally, You need to get support. If there's anything you want to change in your life, because automaticity is so strong, because 80 to 90% of what you do happens unconsciously, automatically, and rapid fire fast outside of your awareness, you need a coach for support. You need someone to help you make changes in your life. If you do it on your own, it will take longer and you risk not following through, you risk overwhelming yourself and you risk burning out. So I encourage you to get support. You can always, if paying for a coach is not possible, you can buddy up with a friend, you can try and support each other, but absolutely you need accountability in order to make major changes in your life. So that is it for me. I do offer complimentary coaching sessions. If that interests you, you can reach out to me. I do have my email somewhere, lizdoyleharmer.com. I'll just finish quickly with a quote, one that I find inspiring. Well, quickly to summarize, you need to bypass your evolution, bypass your conditioning, take your power back and use fierce presence. Ground your nervous system, get support. And this quote, I love, the woman who does not require validation is the most feared woman on the planet. And with that, I'll open it up to Q&A. And there's my email and my website if you want to reach out after as well. So Liz, what's the best way? Should I just read the questions here on the Q&A?
We've got a few questions in the Q&A. We may not have time for all of them. So I'll read them out in the first one that came in. Procreation and the ability to care for your offspring and not just make them, and following your purpose and passion and acting beyond survival is a social privilege. Yeah. How do you address the social privilege that affects one's ability to make these choices?
So Alicia, I totally 100% agree. It's a social privilege. But I think it's, if that's where you are, that's where you are. If you have that privilege, I don't think squandering that privilege does anybody any service. And the reason I think that is because whatever is calling to you, your purpose, your mission, your vision, your values, I believe, this is my belief, is in some way tied to making this world better. I believe that 100%. So it is not a selfish ideal. It is not a selfish pursuit to pursue your own purpose, because I know that when you start to take steps towards what's important to you, underneath that, you eventually get to service for others. I've seen it happen and I believe it. So if you are absolutely right. First, there are people in the world who are still struggling to get food resources for themselves, right? So that is where they need to work first. But if you have wealth, privilege, a certain amount of privilege, you live in a safe country, and you are feeling a call to seek fulfillment, it is your duty to seek fulfillment. In some way, your fulfillment is tied to making this world better. I believe that.
Thank you. That's a really lovely answer. I think that's a really complex question for us in women, certainly, about following your purpose and society, and something I've certainly wrestled with. So thank you for that. Lots of questions here. We're not going to be able to get through them all, I'm afraid. While investigating the messages I received as a child, is it possible that I would make up memories to justify some behaviours? And if yes, does that matter for confidence building work?
You know, that's a good question. In my own work, my own personal inner work, I've received insights that it was not possible for me to remember with the conscious part of my brain. They were embodied memories and intuitions and feelings that emerged, which I chose to trust. And so can I prove 100% that these things happened? No, but I do believe that the body stores old memories. And so if you are having a memory that feels accurate to you, even if you can't find proof of that in your world, I believe you should trust that. Trust that and work with it. Because the body remembers. The body honestly remembers stuff that happened a long time ago that you might not be able to find physical proof of today. So trust yourself, trust what comes to you, and work with those things.
Beautiful answer. Thank you very much. And we're really tight on time. You've given us some lovely tips. Bernie's just asking, is it possible to give some practical tips and upvoted question there. We've talked about the grounding. Is there anything else practical that you could suggest?
Yeah, so, okay, centering is another big one. So I start with grounding. Grounding is number one, find your ground first, right? So find yourself, bring your attention to the bottom of your feet, focus on the soles of your feet. I remind myself when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm literally held by gravity. I'm not gonna float away. I'm supported by the earth. And then I visualize roots growing out through my feet. This is a practice I do in the back of my head all the time. Everywhere I go, I'm grounding, rooting, reminding I'm connected to the earth. That's number one. Number two is to align from there, then to find length in your body. A lot of times we collapse ourselves down. That's going to send us into nervous system overwhelm. We're going to start to get fight or flight thoughts. It's not our most powerful position. Use your body as a tool. Ground through your feet first, then roll your shoulders back, engage your legs, send the crown of your head towards the ceiling, take up space. For most women, we need to take up space. That is number one. You have to get used to taking up space in your physical body and being comfortable with that expanded space. I think that's first and foremost what you do before you go out and try and do bold and confident things in the outside world. Feel expansiveness in your body first. Train yourself to get comfortable with that.
Lovely, really nice. I like with that, I sometimes like to use the imagery of matching with the roots, having the wings that lift you up. You
know, so absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
So lovely and such a rich, interesting topic, Liz, and beautifully delivered. Thank you so much. We don't have time to go to any more of the Q&A, but we do have Liz's contact details here. You can reach out to her via her website or send her email if you're interested in working more on this or finding out a little bit more, because it's certainly the more confident, powerful women that we can have in this world, the better.
So it's time. I believe that. I believe that. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Lovely to be here.
Great. I can't believe this is running to an end, and lots of love coming in to the chat for you there, Liz. I hope you can see that. Wonderful. Lots of love happening there. This has reached the end of our session here on the Coaching and Therapy channel, but that doesn't mean that it's all over. You can pop over to one of the coffee break Zoom rooms and you can have a chat about things that you've been learning from the conference, or just connect with other participants by going back into the portal and clicking on the coffee break rooms. You can also join our Facebook group, the Embodiment Conference. We are trying to help to create the world as a more embodied and compassionate place. So you'll meet some like-minded people in there if you do want to join. That is the Embodiment Conference Facebook group. Thanks again to our sponsor, who is Dylan Newcomb of Uzazu. And thanks again to our presenter, which is Liz Doyle at lizdoyleharmer.com. Liz Doyle Harmer, sorry, I didn't say the full name there. And if like me, you've enjoyed this presentation, you can watch it again for free for the next 48 hours on repeat if you want, or you can watch any of the other videos that have taken place. They're all available for 48 hours for free. So do get as much learning in as you can. If you would like to have a bit more space and time to absorb all this learning, you can, of course, upgrade your package so you can have the videos for life, and you'll get audio versions so you can listen to them on the go. You can get learning lists and notes as well for each session. If you upgrade during the conference, it is 50% of the price it will be afterwards. And that money goes to help us to put this conference on for free globally, because it isn't free to put it on. So if you can help with that, do that, but absolutely no obligation. Do what you want. Enjoy the free feast that is here for while it's here, because hey, that's nice. So that's enough from me. We're going to be going to our next speaker at 8 p.m. on this channel. That's Tim Maris, and he's going to be doing Discover Whether You Are a Future Thinker or Perhaps a Past Thinker and How This May Be Affecting Your Health and Well-being. So that is on this channel at 8 p.m. But we've had a lovely session here with Liz Doyle Harmer on Embodied Confidence for Women. So I want to turn back to you, Liz, for our very final question, which is, what is your top tip for being more embodied?
My top tip is just to, oh, I'm getting a feedback. It's honestly to take control. You have dominion and we want to welcome the difficult thoughts and the difficult experiences, but then you also get to say, hey, this is my physical body. I'm going to decide what happens in here. This is my domain. And when you do that, you can say, I'm going to use my body, my breath, my attention in a way that serves me best. So that's what I would say. Just take control of this. It's your dominion. You have full rights to it.
Lovely message. Thank you. Your dominion. I'm owning mine. Thank you so much, Liz. Yeah, and thank you everyone who has attended today. Have a lovely rest of your days wherever you are. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.